Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. As I do every week, I'll remind you again that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs that you hear, all you need to do is write to us. The CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure that you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study in God's Word today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the day. Dear Lord, I thank you for our listeners, those that tune in. Lord, once in a while I run into people in a community that are a big encouragement, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray today we're going to continue our journey through the seal judgments. And as we do, I pray that you will use your Word to stir the hearts of people. Maybe there would be somebody tuned in today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if that's the case, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. That today that they would repent of their sins and that they would put their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we commit this to you, ask that it goes out in the power of your might, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Also forgot to tell you that if you desire, if you wouldn't want to send a letter, you could also email me at pastorshowalter@aol.com, and we'll make sure that you get your CD also if you desire one. Okay, so if you have a Bible, you can open it up to Revelation chapter 6. That's where we are at. This is the Seal Judgments part 9, and the seal judgments are described in verses 1 through 17. So last week in our study of Revelation, we were in Revelation 6, and we started to look at the sixth seal judgment. Before we get to where we stopped, I want us to review some of what we have looked at. The sixth seal is far different from the first five seals. The sixth seal deals with earthly and cosmic disturbances. Watch verse 12. Here's what it says. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. When this seal is opened, when it's peeled off the scroll, there will be a great earthquake. This earthquake is nothing like anything which the world has seen before. The earthquakes today are the results of the curse which the earth is under because sin has entered into the world. Romans chapter 8, 19 through 22 says this, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature," or the creation, "was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature or creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So what happens in our world today as far as earthquakes go is that they are the results of the curse. The earth is groaning and travailing together in pain, looking to be released from the curse. And so the earth anticipates that coming day when the sons of God, you and I, that know Christ as Savior, when we will be revealed. And in that day, that'll be whenever Christ returns to the earth. He will come back. He will set up his kingdom. And that will be whenever the earth is transformed and Christ sets up his kingdom on the earth and the earth is restored back to what it was before sin entered into the world. Today, that's the result of that's what brings about the earthquakes, the groaning and the travailing, the curse. The earthquake in Revelation 6, this is different. This is the result of God shaking the heavens and the earth. This was foretold in the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 2, 6 and 7 says this, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." So what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, whenever we read of the earthquake, what it is God shaking the earth. It's different. This isn't the result of the curse. This is the result of the judgment of God during the tribulation period. By the way, this is still in the beginning of the tribulation. This is still in the first half of the tribulation, these first six seals. So this earthquake will be like nothing the world has ever seen before, because this one will be the hand of God. This too, let me say this before I move on. This will be a global earthquake. Earthquakes today are localized earthquakes. They happen in certain areas. They can happen in California. They can happen wherever, on the East Coast, the West Coast, out in the oceans, wherever they can happen. This earthquake here in Revelation 6:12 is a global earthquake. It's global. And so therefore the entire earth will shake. Watch verse 13. That's not all. "And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty, when she's shaken of a mighty wind." God will not only shake the earth, but he's also going to shake the heavens. And when he does, the stars of heaven are going to fall into the earth. Now, the word stars there is aster. It's the very word we get our word asteroid from. And so it seems as though it will be just a barrage of asteroids that'll pummel the earth at this time. Watch verse 14. Watch the severity of all of this. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it scrolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Okay, so the sky will split wide open, and we can only speculate as to what this entails. Some believe it's an opening of the sky to allow the world to see into the throne room of God. We're also told here that every island and every mountain will be moved out of their places. This alone tells us that the earthquake is global, okay? Because every island and every mountain will be moved out of their places. That also tells us that this earthquake, this shaking from God, is far greater than anything the earth has ever experienced before. Now, there have been islands moved. The island of Indonesia, I think it was back in 2004, was moved about 100 feet because of an earthquake, but that was still localized. That was not global. This one's going to move every island and every mountain out of its place. The entire geography of the earth is going to be changed with the opening of the sixth seal. You understand that the mountains that we have around us today, or if you want to go west and you want to go into the Rocky Mountains, wherever, the Appalachian Mountains, the Rocky Mountains, the Sierras, whatever, the Himalayas, everything is going to be changed. They're all going to be moved out of their places. The geography of the earth is going to be completely changed, completely transformed. Let me also remind you that this seal is far more severe than the previous seals for a reason. The first five seals could possibly be explained away by the earth dwellers as natural causes. But when this seal is opened up, there will be no doubt that the world is under the judgment of God. God wants people to know what's happening. For he desires that every individual would repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. 2 Peter 3, 7 through 10 says this, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. The sixth seal and the cosmic disturbances are going to be devastating upon this earth. An earthquake that shakes the earth so hard that every island and every mountain is moved out of its place. Last week we talked about some of the consequences of that, the tsunamis that will take place, the crumbling of the skyscrapers, the breaking open of the underground gas lines and oil lines and all the pipelines that run through the ground, the taking out of electricity and disrupting water supplies and just beyond. I mean, you and I can't even begin to fathom what is going to take place. It brings me to where we are today, the sixth seal, the great and cosmic disturbances, or the earthly and cosmic disturbances, part two. Watch verse 15. And the kings of the earth, keep that in mind right there, that phrase, kings of the earth, we're going to come back to that. And the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, don't forget, before I get back to my notes here, let me say this. Keep in mind, you're wondering why they hide themselves. I mean, everything's falling apart. But also, don't forget that the heaven departed as a scroll, like when it's rolled together, like it split in the middle and it snapped on both ends and rolled up. And some people believe that's a view for the world to be able to look in to the throne room of God. And that may be one of the reasons why they're hiding. But let me get you back to the notes. This verse shines much light on how difficult life will be at this time. All the people who are listed here are driven from their cities and from their homes, and they fled into the mountains. It's not safe in the cities. It's not safe around buildings. They've been driven out by famine. They've been driven out by civil unrest. They've been driven out by the collapse of the buildings within the cities, by the collapse of their homes, by fires, by lawlessness. It's like every man for himself at this time. I mean, think about it now. Okay, you still have the previous seals that are still taking place. You still got the wars. You still got the famines. They're searching for a way to survive. They head off into the dens and hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. They run out into the wilderness. Now, let me explain who these people are whom John sees here. They're the kings of the earth. They are the rulers of the earth, because the Bible tells us they are of the earth. See that verse? Kings of the earth. For that reason, we can be sure they're unsaved people who have rejected the message of Jesus Christ. These kings of the earth are mentioned several times in the Bible. Listen to me. I'm going to read some verses. Psalm 2, 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. These are the kings who refuse to kiss the Son. They're the kings who refuse Jesus Christ. Psalm 2 again. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. These are the kings who will worship commercial Babylon. They will be caught up in the commercial Babylon and into the commerce of the world in the day of the tribulation. And that'll be their focus. It's all about money. It's all about, these are the elites. These are the ones that it's all about money. Revelation 18, listen to this, verses 1 through 3. And these things, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and a hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Here we go. And the kings of the earth, there's that phrase again, have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. These are the kings who came under the power of the demons and will determine to go into battle against the Lord. Revelation 16, 13 through 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth. There it is again, Revelation 16, 14. And the whole world together to gather them to battle, to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Isaiah tells us the kings of the earth will be gathered together like prisoners shut up in a prison. Isaiah 24, 20 through 22, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth, there it is again upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. From these verses we can see that these kings of the earth are people who have rejected Jesus Christ and his message. They would, by the way, be the political leaders of the earth. Watch the verse again. Watch verse 15 again. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains. The great men and the rich men are those who control the world from behind the scenes, just like today. They are the Soros, the Rockefellers, the Gateses. They are the elites, is exactly who they are. They are the elites of our society. The chief captains and the mighty men, they are the military leaders and military men who have lent themselves to the elites. The bondmen and the freemen are the slaves and the average people of the earth. There's something here that is very important to see. When a judgment of God begins to fall, every man's on the same level. Did you catch that? It makes no difference how much money they have made. It makes no difference what position they hold. It makes no difference what kind of possessions they have. It makes no difference what kind of car they drove. It doesn't matter what building their office was in. It doesn't matter how large their bank account. It doesn't matter who they were married to. They're on the same level. All these things mean nothing when they face the judgment of God. Let me read verse 15 again. And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and the chief captains and mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains. They're all on the same level. They're all the same now. They've been basically exposed for what they really are, sinners. Today, people see themselves as elites. They see themselves above somebody else. But listen, when it comes right down to it, we're all on the same level. Now, before I move on to the next verse, I want you to see what Isaiah said concerning these people. Isaiah 2, 8 through 11. Listen to this. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. All on the same level, you see what I'm saying? Isaiah 2, 17 through 20. Let me continue on. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall utterly abolish, shall he utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Boy, that's just the perfect description of what's going on right here. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. They're going to bury them. They're going to be gone. They're not going to do any good whatsoever. None. All that money, all the idols, all the gold, all the silver, it's all nothing. Watch verse 16 now. Watch what they say. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This verse is very sad, because instead of these people crying out to God to save them, they're crying out to the mountains to fall on them. They won't pray to God, but they'll pray to the mountains. I want you to grasp what it is that I'm about to say. These people are controlled by two things here: sin and fear. Sin and fear warp the intellect in man. They warp it. For here in this verse, we see that they desire to hide from God. Let me make an application with that. The desire to hide from God started when sin entered into the world. Remember Genesis 3, 7 through 8? It says, and the eyes of both of them were opened. That was Adam and Eve. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. We see the very same warped intellect in the lives of people today in the response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? To some, listen to me, to some our message is a sweet savor of life, but to others, our message is a savor of death. They hate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it confronts them with their sin. That's why many people will not attend church. They don't want to be confronted with their sin. They attempt to hide in the midst of the world. That's what they're doing. They don't want to come into church. They don't want to listen to the truth of God's word. If they do attend the church, I can assure you it's one that doesn't preach much about sin or about the wrath of God. I've been in churches where people have been highly offended because I talked about sin and death and hell and God's wrath. They didn't desire to hear the truth. They'd rather make an attempt to hide from God behind their own self-righteousness. Let me just point out, it's impossible to hide from God. Job 34, 20 through 22 says, in a moment they shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken way without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. No place to hide. Watch 16 and 17 of Revelation 6. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? These people know what's happening. They still won't repent. And my question is why? I believe there are two reasons. Number one is their love for the world. Their love for the world. They have a love for the world. And so they don't want to let go of that. They don't want to give that up. Number two, they've hardened their hearts. They've hardened their hearts. They've fallen under a judicial hardening, just as Pharaoh did in the Old Testament. In Exodus 10:1, we read this, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. Listen, you continue to reject Jesus Christ, and you can fall under a judicial hardening. And God can use you to demonstrate his power as he did Pharaoh, if you are not careful. You hear my voice today, you're not saved, you need to repent. You need to get on your knees, and you need to confess your sin to the Lord, and then you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without him, you don't have a chance, you don't have a hope. You have none. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery. I'm out of time. I'm out of time, but I really appreciate you being with us today. We appreciate all of our listeners. Listen, if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our radio program, as I say all the time, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church. Might you have a blessed week.